this first day of spring. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. And today in particular, let's keep in mind that when we turn to the book of Colossians, we're also turning to the letter of Colossians. That this was a letter, this was correspondence that we are reading, that God was moving in the life of Paul, and God was moving in the lives of these Christians at Colossae to exalt Jesus, to glorify the Christ together as a church, as a family, as members of those who have committed their lives to Jesus Christ. It's important that we keep in mind once again that this book was also a letter. So let's dive into it today and let's see how God was moving in the midst of these people. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, wrote these words. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that we may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Let's pray as we go to the Holy Scriptures this morning. Father God, we thank you for the privilege we have this morning, that we join locally here with our brothers and sisters, but we know that this is a worldwide phenomenon, that across the globe, there are men, women, and children who have called upon Jesus Christ, turning to his grace, coming to know him as Lord and Savior. And together we get to work as this giant family to do that which we were made to do, to exalt and lift up Jesus Christ, to love people well for your glory, to worship you, for you alone are worthy of it. And I pray as we see the testimony of these saints of old from the New Testament era, as we see their testimony in these scriptures, that we will learn from them, that we will see that as they committed their lives to the Son of God, that we should do the same, and that we can imitate their faith, that we may draw closer to you. And it is only in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Fellowship and service. Things that must be vital to our life. Fellowship and service. If truly we are committed to the Son of God. You know, as we turn to the Bible, there are some iconic scriptures that become very familiar to us, that someone just barely familiar with the faith may be able to quote. So I want to see if you can finish some of these verses for me. In Genesis 1:1, it said, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Very good. John 3:16, "For God so loved the that he sent his only, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You guys are doing really good so far. What about Psalm 23:4? "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Matthew 28:19, that great commission, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," or maybe your translation, the Holy Ghost. But you can finish. These are just some iconic verses that are just familiar. They just stand out. You know what's not one of those iconic sections of Scripture? Colossians 4, 7 through 9. I would dare say, if I said, "Finish this for me, here's how it starts, Tychicus," that probably we wouldn't have been able to finish that verse. And that's okay. Not every verse stands out like that. Colossians 4, 7 through 9 begins the closing of a letter that Paul wrote. It has pragmatic details about his situation and other people involved. It is correspondence between Paul and the church at Colossae. And once again, I would dare say that Colossians 4, 7 through 9 is probably not as well known as John 3, 16. Some verses, as I said, are just more easily remembered. Yet I think that perhaps the ending of Paul's epistles are not as well known because they may seem like busy work. It may seem, if you were reading this as it is, in the genre it is, as a letter, that when you reach this, it's just business. It's just practical. It's just you have to close a letter at some point, and this is how Paul is closing it. But remember, the same God that inspired John 3:16, that same Lord inspired Colossians 4, 7 through 9, and the entire ending of this letter. And while it may not stand out as easily, and while it may not have the same memorization features of like Genesis 1:1, I believe the Lord has some remarkable treasures for us in these small verses. That within them we see that this was produced by the mind of God. That the Lord himself, through Paul, was writing this letter. And there is a lesson for the church of Colossae. There was a reason why they needed this. And there's a reason why the church at Highland Hills needs it too. Why all churches in all ages need this section of Scripture. And one is so we can live out this application, and it is this. The first application we see in our text is this: faithfully be a servant to God and his people. Look with me again in verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Remember, what is the setting with which this letter is written? Paul is in prison, and he writes to this church, and he does not have the freedom. He is not given the mobility to go to this church. So with pen and parchment, he sends this letter, and God providentially speaks to them. So how will Paul get this letter to the church at Colossae? He wants to correspond with them. He wants to talk with them. He wants to be involved in what God is doing in their lives, but he can't come to them. He will send Tychicus. Now, some may pronounce this name Tychicus. Perhaps he's so obscure that we even have multiple pronunciations for him. You see, he's not an Adam. He's not a Noah or an Abraham or a Moses or a Peter or James or John. He's not a Miriam or a Mary or Elizabeth or a Paul. And probably not even a lot of us would think, if we just brought him to mind, well, what did Tychicus do in the Bible? You see, he's not on the front stage. He's not in the limelight. But friends, listen. His service to God was powerful. His commitment to Jesus was profound. And here we see a believer behind the scenes who is so worthy of our imitation. A great example of what it means to be someone who is committed to Jesus. So let's get a little background. Who is Tychicus? Well, we know that he was a person that Paul trusted greatly. Tychicus ministered with Paul. And when Paul faced dangerous situations and everything he was called to do to live for Christ, Tychicus was often with him, facing the danger with him if it meant he could glorify the Messiah. We read about this in Acts 20. In Acts 20, beginning in verse 2, we see this historical account. It says this in Acts 20, verse 2. When he had gone through those regions and he had given them much encouragement, he came to Greece. There he spent 3 months. And when a plot was made against him by the Jews, as he was also about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Sopater the Berean and Pyrrhus accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and the Asians, Tychicus, there he is, and Trophimus. So when Paul was facing danger, someone who was there for him, someone who he could trust, was Tychicus. We also see him again in Titus 3:12. In Titus 3:12, he mentions him. Paul says, when I send Artemis and Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me in Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. There he is once again popping up in the ministry of Paul. In 2 Timothy 4:12, we see Tychicus again. In 2 Timothy 4:12, it says, I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak I left in Troas with Carpus, as well as the scrolls, especially the parchments. So behind the scenes, not in the limelight, here is someone who's constantly trying to help Paul get the good news of Jesus Christ to the nations. To make sure that people know that the Son of God has come, and if you will confess your sin, if you will believe he died and rose again, you can enter into a relationship with him where your sin is forgiven and you are a child of God forever. He's committed to that message, and he's committed to partnering with Paul to make sure that it gets out to the nations. You know, I think today we can take for granted the technology that enhances our life. And maybe this pandemic opened our eyes to that. That if this pandemic had happened 20, 30 years ago, could we have pulled off the Zoom calls? Could we have pulled off the online learning that we've been able to do? The instant communication that is ours, we can take for granted. I can take for granted that anytime I want to, I can pull out my phone and I can take my kids and they can FaceTime their grandparents down in Corbin, Kentucky. And they can just see them. My little girl had a gymnastics meet yesterday, and she wanted to FaceTime Nanny and tell her all about it. We can take for granted the instant communication that is ours. We could have a friend today in Russia, in Australia, and if you wanted to, you could talk to them instantly. Go back 100, go back 150 years in history, and they wouldn't even comprehend the ease with which we can communicate with each other. Because it was not too long ago, even for our nation, that communication was incredibly difficult, taking massive spans of time and distance to accomplish. I want to give you a history lesson real quick. I want to show you this picture right here. All right, you guys have been doing so good so far with the verses I gave you, so you're doing great. You have an A today. So can anyone tell me in history who is this guy? Benjamin Franklin. Very good. This is Benjamin Franklin. But where is he? Where is the statue? This is a statue of Benjamin Franklin in front of the old post office pavilion in Washington, D.C. Now, why would he be there? You see, when you think of Benjamin Franklin, you may think of the Constitutional Convention. You may think of his join or die political cartoon that became so famous and significant in the midst of the American Revolution. You may think of his supposed kite experiment that he did. You may think of a $100 bill. Those are nice to have. Or you may think of something else related to Benjamin Franklin. He just did so much in our history. He's so iconic. But did you know he was the first Postmaster General? That this occurred even before we officially declared independence, the Continental Congress put him in charge of the mail service from Massachusetts down to Georgia. And they paid him a whopping $1,000 a year to do so. Franklin was responsible for all the post offices from Massachusetts to Georgia, and he instituted a set of mail deliverers who would ride on horseback, and many would even ride at night. People were astonished at the speed at which he could deliver the mail. In that time period, Philadelphia to New York, the road spanned about 109 miles, and they couldn't believe that in 109 miles, you could get a letter to someone in about 2 weeks. 2 weeks to get your letter, 109 miles. They couldn't believe such astonishing speed of communication. You know, once the hostilities with Britain died down, we very much entered into business commerce once again, and there was transatlantic services that could take your letter to Britain and back. But this is how mail delivery worked. You see, some people, they would write a letter and it would never get there, so they started doing this. When they wrote a letter to Britain, they would write five, and they would put them on five different ships, and then they would say, well, hopefully one of them's going to make it. And that was mail delivery in the 1700s. And once again, the two-week time in our nation, the roads, and you could go all the way to England if you wanted to with a ship, and many people thought that was very sophisticated for the time in the 1700s. Now picture you are writing a letter some 2,000 years ago in the Roman Empire. Letter carrying mail delivery then could mean you're going to have to risk your life. You could be traveling, you could be attacked by animals. You could be attacked by robbers who couldn't care less if they murder you. It was risky. It was dangerous. And yet Paul, for the sake of God's church, needed someone willing to travel a long distance to deliver this letter. Verse 7, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. You see, Paul needed a faithful, selfless man of courage, and Tychicus was this man. So what made Tychicus such a godly man? Why does Paul entrust him with this letter to get it to the church at Colossae? Well, verse 7 again, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother. Tychicus is a beloved brother. Now, Paul and Tychicus were not related by blood, but nonetheless, they are family. Because Tychicus gets something that we all should get. When we gather here together, we do not gather as mere friends. We do not gather as a group that supports the same cause. If we gather here scripturally, we gather together today as family. As brothers and sisters with the tightest commitment we can have. That we belong to Jesus. That family mentality is what the Bible pushes us to be for each other. Paul said this in 1 Timothy 5. In 1 Timothy 5, when he's talking about what it means that we interact as family, he says this, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father. Younger men as brothers. Older women as mothers. And with all propriety, the younger women as sisters." That's what the scripture wants to cultivate for the church of Jesus Christ. That when we think of each other, we view each other as family. If you are to imitate the example of Tychicus, then you must see church members as family. Family goes through life together. And they rejoice together. Sometimes they weep together. They celebrate together. And yes, family members can have tension. Raise your hand if you've ever been in a family that didn't have tension. If your hand is up, please repent of bearing false witness. Families have tension, but true families strive to work it out. They do not abandon each other. They stick together because, well, you're family. Families sacrifice for each other. Families are there for each other. And Tychicus is ready to risk his life because he believes that this church at Colossae doesn't consist of people who've united in a cause. It consists of his brothers and sisters in Christ. But what else is worthy of the imitation of Tychicus? He is a servant. Verse 7 again. Tychicus will tell you about all my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Remember what I said. You probably know about Moses. You probably know about Peter. You know about Paul. But if we were honest, this character, Tychicus, is elusive to us in terms of our memory. Because once again, Tychicus was a Christian who did not have to have the limelight. He was content doing hard, dangerous work if it meant in the end Jesus would be glorified. He was content that he may not be the one writing the letter, but for the exaltation of the Messiah, he would be the one to deliver it. You see, Jesus said it like this in Matthew 23, 11 through 12. Jesus said, "The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Ask yourself this. What is something you do for the Lord that no one else sees? A sacrifice you make And the only one who sees what you're doing is God Himself. How do you see that in your life? You see, when we have traits like that in our lives, when there's some service to God that no one else sees, what we're saying is this: we're content with the audience of the King of the universe. And should we not be? Is He not that which is most significant? If you have the audience of the Creator of the cosmos, why would you want the audience of men? You see, for Tychicus, what motivated him was to wake up and know that he put a smile on God's face. Not that he got the applause of men, not that he got the accolades of society, but for him to wake up every day and say, "You who gave your life for me, how can I please you today? How can I live for you in this moment? How can I serve those you love?" That is the attitude of someone like Tychicus. And if we love the same Lord that he loved, it should be our attitude as well. And if that is our attitude, I believe we will make this application from our text this morning as well. And it is this: invest your life into a local church and assist other churches too. If you want to live this text and not just hear it today, invest your life into a local church and assist other churches too. For what does it say in verse 8? "I sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts." Another thing interesting about Tychicus was that he did not just see himself as a part of one little church, but participated with other churches. He was going to Colossae because he wanted them to know about what God was doing with Paul, who was back in Rome. And he wanted to connect them to what God was doing through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And Paul was in Rome when he wrote this, and that would mean that Colossae was 1,300 miles away. That's how far Tychicus had to travel to deliver the letter that we get to read today, nearly 2,000 years ago. And why would Tychicus do this? Why would he travel such a great distance? That would be a great distance to travel in 2021, let alone some 2,000 years ago. I think he did it because he knew God wasn't just moving in Rome. God was moving all throughout the world. And God called Tychicus to be a part of that movement, that global phenomenon. That's why I'm proud to be a Southern Baptist, because we deliberately partner with like-minded churches so that we can be greater together than we would be apart. You may not be called to travel 1,300 miles like Tychicus was, but you are called to tithe. And we can take a part of that tithe and we can give it to God's global ministry, where we have ourselves a Jerusalem, a Judea, a Samaria, and the othermost parts, that we can start right here in Fort Thomas, but that we can see an impact that is reached around the world for the glory of Christ. You may not be called to be a missionary today, but you can help fund missions. You can pray for those who are scattered throughout this world proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, if you're like Tychicus, you will be concerned, yes, for the local ministry that God has called you to be a part of, but you will always have in your mind a global perspective that this gospel must be sent to the nations. And though he doesn't need us, God calls us to be a part of that. He invites us to be a part of this plan to spread the message of Jesus in our area and beyond our area, to make sure that everyone around this world knows that the Heavenly Father pursues them, that he sent Jesus for them, that if they will turn to Christ, they can be a part of what we've been invited to be a part of too, not because of anything we've done, but only by grace, they too can be a part of the family of God. And if we're committed to that, I think we also must make this commitment as well, and it is our last application. We must trust God's plan for teamwork. Look with me in verse 9. Paul says, "And with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. There's another Christian in this account. As this letter comes to a close, we see two people, and it will be their responsibility to get this letter to the church of Colossae, Tychicus and Onesimus. Onesimus is also a major focus of the epistle of Philemon, and a whole series of sermons could be made and what God was doing in the life of Onesimus. It's a very short book. I recommend that you check it out if you want to see the background to his life. Yet for now, I want you to see the role he plays with Tychicus. Tychicus was never meant ever to serve God alone. There's nothing Jesus called him to. There is no task he was given that he could complete in isolation. He needed his family, and in particular, he needed Onesimus. He needed a team member. And God providentially provided him with a Colossian. Look at verse 9 again. And with him Onesimus, our faithful beloved brother, who is one of you. He's from Colossae. He's one of the members of this church. And so Tychicus has a good friend and someone who knows the way and someone who can help him in this mission that God has called him to get this letter to this church. So whatever danger Tychicus is faced with, he's going to face it with Onesimus. Friends, we must cooperate together for God's glory. Yes, you have an individual relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you value that individual relationship with Jesus Christ, then you will want to love the one your Savior loves, and that is his bride, and that is his church. There's no such thing as someone who just loves Jesus but doesn't love his church. That doesn't exist in Scripture. If you love the Christ and you value the Christ, then of course you will pour your life into the church for which he died. And that means we have to pour our lives into fellowship. We have to serve God together. We can never come to fellowship with our own agenda instead of Christ, our own desires, our own plans, where we're just competing and fighting. That can't be what a fellowship is. Rather, we should be a model for this world of teamwork, of dying to ourselves and living for one another, of making sure that the main star of the show of our lives is never ourselves, that it is Jesus Christ alone. We must faithfully be servants to God and his people. We must pour our lives into God's local and global ministry, and we must do this as a team for the glory of God. I want to close with this one more time. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother. That family language that we keep seeing coming up again and again in this letter and will come up again and again in the New Testament is significant. You see, the Bible says that not everyone is a child of God. But the Bible does proclaim every single person is invited to be a child of God if they want to. You see, the Bible says that when we ran from God and we were sinners, God came after us. And God sent Jesus to die for us, to take our punishment. And now, if we will look to Christ and we will accept him as Lord and Savior, then we are invited to be a part of God's family. If you want to be a son of the Lord, you can be. If you want to be a daughter of the Lord, you can be. You must come through Jesus Christ. And if you do, if you turn from your sins and you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you become a child of God. And when you become a child of God, then you can look at everyone else who has done that, who knowing no way they could save themselves, they look to Jesus alone, and you can look at them and you can say, that's my brother, that's my sister, and we are the family of God. If you've never made that choice today, I pray you would. I pray you would come to Christ because he wants you in his family. And if you have made that choice, may we be radically committed as a family to committing our lives to glorifying God and everything that he is doing in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the testimony of Tychicus and Onesimus. God, we thank you for leaving us this historical account of how you were moving in the ministry of Colossae. And God, we pray that you would move in the ministry of Highland Hills, that we would be partners, and through teamwork, we would get this good news out to this area and beyond. This good news that you've invited us into to your family. And God, I pray right now as we close that we would just be so grateful, that we would be so thankful that though we could offer nothing, you invited us to be a part of this family of Christianity, this family rallied around Jesus Christ, that we would just be lost in lifting and exalting you and be thinking of ways that we can serve you in our lives and be a part of what you're doing around this world. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Let us stand. We will close praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you need to come at this time, you come.